I just want to help people out. Like, I love sharing these with people. I did it just to solve a problem. I didn't think it was going to turn into a full-blown business.
Welcome, everybody, to Nashville Drummers Podcast, Episode 42, as well as year 2024.
I hope everyone had a good holiday and Happy New Year's. We're kicking off the new year with drummer, producer, and business owner, Tim Miller. Many of you may know him here as a Belmont grad and as the founder and owner of Tune Towels.
Tim was a blast to talk to. Super dry sense of humor, which I loved. An entrepreneurial mind, which I super deeply appreciate. He found a problem and he found a solution. And he did it brilliantly, and he's showing how that can be so simple and so profitable for you to do.
Yeah, it was inspiring hearing his journey as just, you know, an everyday drummer that, as you said, discovered a problem and then found a solution. And it's been amazing to see that journey grow into a business. Tune Towels is now being sold over at Nelson's Drum Shop. And of course, he was exhibiting with us over the Music City Drum Show as well. We also spent a good amount of time in the beginning of the conversation talking about his experience at Belmont University. And I think really just speaks to the value that is possible at a college experience such as Belmont. Not only just an education and having great access to teachers and students and gear and those kinds of things, but he emphasized really the importance of networking and being surrounded by like-minded individuals, especially at that young, crucial age, you know, of being in college and kind of figuring out your life. That topic comes up a good amount of, you know, whether you need a degree. I appreciated Tim's perspective on what Belmont brought to him and has brought to so many others that we've had on this podcast too.
We hope you enjoy episode 42. Today, we're welcoming a new sponsor to the podcast, Lowboy Custom Beaters. These guys make the absolute best sounding, best feeling, and best looking bass drum beaters in the game.
Yeah, I bought my first Lowboy in 2016. It was a red and blue with white stripes, and I was able to design it and buy it right on their website, and Lowboy has been my go-to beater ever since. This thing feels and sounds great on any gig, and they just look even better.
One thing I really love about Lowboy is that you can customize the tone of your beater in addition to the look. Go with a wood striking surface for maximum attack, leather for a warm punch, felt if you want it a bit boomier, or lamb's wool for those felt but not heard kick drum tones. You can buy Lowboy beaters here in Nashville at Forks, Drum Supply, and Nelson Drum Shop. You can also demo all 8 beater models at Drumbox. Check them out at lowboybeaters.com.
I mean, I met you, I want to say, what, 2 years ago now? Or was it this year? Last year, maybe?
2 years sounds right.
Yeah.
I think we definitely met over Instagram first and then met in person maybe like a year ago.
That's the world
ago.
We live in now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's like Instagram and then, okay, I guess this can now escalate to real life.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, just to kind of set the scene. So we're here with Tim Miller. You're our recording mix engineer, producer, of course, a drummer from Philly. I'm reading here, huh?
Oh yeah, go
Birds. I
don't
think I knew that. Go Birds. Okay, door's right there. New York sports fan all the way for me.
Oh no.
Yeah, so we'll get into that.
Sorry.
The most polite Philly person.
I know, right? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Philly green on though. That's what I use. I think we did connect first on Instagram, and I think it was about you know, recording or just studio content, and you know, I was able to meet you that way, and we've since, you know, became friends and talked a lot about different projects and so forth.
Yeah, but totally.
Yeah, just kind of give the people kind of a brief overview of, you said you're from Philly. When did you move to Nashville, and what are you currently up to in town?
I moved to Nashville in 2017 for Belmont. I was a audio engineering major, graduated in 21. I made it through all 4 years. I know a lot of people end up doing a couple semesters and, you know, then they go off and do their own thing. And that's cool too. I think I just wanted to see it through because I didn't have that thought of like actually dropping out until like junior year. I was like, man, I should just stick it out.
Yeah.
But I really loved Belmont and all the stuff that I got to learn there. And, you know, all the people that you meet is just, it's amazing. Like, I go into coffee shops and run into people from college that I haven't seen in like 2 or 3 years. But
the Belmont connection does seem pretty special here.
It's great. And like most of the people that go to Belmont end up staying in Nashville because everybody goes there for music. And, you know, there's always people that are ahead of you that have gone to Belmont that are always willing to help you out, like just meeting people or, you know, helping you find your next gig or just giving you advice that, that can be really helpful, especially when they have, you know, some more just life experience, especially in Nashville, you know. But Nashville's a weird town. But
would you agree that in going to probably any music school, especially I'm sure Belmont, but I would think any music school, the goal, maybe even more so than getting your chops up in whatever you're working on, is to really connect with a lot of people?
Totally. I mean, I agree with you. I think that Belmont, first, they give you a great education, because you are paying a lot of money for it.
Right.
But meeting the people, like, once you get there, like, you're surrounded by people that want to do the same things that you're doing. And right. It can be definitely, like, intimidating, like, if, you know, you're a freshman and you see seniors that are doing, like, really cool stuff. But it's all about taking your time and, you know, following your own path, too, because it's a super collaborative environment, which was a great segue into being a musician and engineer producer in Nashville, because all the people that are really doing it and, like, succeeding at it are the people that want to be collaborative with other people and help each other out and work together, because that's, like, the best thing about music. It's, like, we're sitting at a table with three drummers and just, you know, kind of shooting the shit. Like,
yeah,
this is awesome.
Yeah, totally.
I think some people can make it too competitive, and I think that's where you run into issues. Like, yes, everybody wants to be really good and stay busy and work, and that's important because it's how we make our living, but it's not worth stepping on other people just to get ahead. And, you know, I learned that from Belmont, just being around people. And, you know, even if they are better than you, like, that's cool. Like, you want to be, I don't want to say the worst person in the room, but, like skill level wise, like, it's great to be surrounded by other people that are ahead of you or better at something than you are, because you're going to learn from them.
Right.
So Belmont really created a great environment where you get to have those people around you, not only the professors, but the students. Like, you know, people are coming from everywhere. Like, having friends from Georgia or Florida or Indiana is, like, really cool too. Like, I got to go see so many places of the country that I had never seen before just because I was friends with people from Belmont. Like, you know, my roommates were all from different states and stuff. And on, like, spring break, we go to, like, Georgia and St. Patrick's Day parade in Savannah. And that was super cool. Like, I never experienced that. It's just cool stuff like that. It's weird how it all ends up, like, gelling together.
Yeah, that's really cool to hear. And we've heard similar stories. I mean, I think at this point, you've had, I don't know, 6 or 7 Belmont guests on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, we had Tim Buell, Kip Allen, Kaylee Moyer, dude, Sammy Potts. I mean,
Kip is awesome.
And they've all been outstanding guests and supporters of the podcast, but they've all, like, I don't think it's a mystery or a coincidence that they've also all, like, you know, had decent success already and are doing really good things. And I think it stems from that education and experience at Belmont.
Totally.
You know,
I mean, and I'm not saying you have to go to Belmont to be able to move to Nashville and, you know, have a career in the music industry. It's definitely a cheat code to knowing a lot of people in town when you're really entering the start of your actual career.
Yeah.
So I like to tell people that I've been in Nashville for 6 years, but 4 of those I was in college. So, you know, I wasn't dealing with, like, really trying to work and, like, make a living doing it. But
it's like a safe trial run, right?
Yeah, totally. It's like, okay, can I do this or not? And Belmont really allows you to fall on your face a bunch of times and still get up and try it again.
Yeah.
Honestly, that 4 years spent, you're still growing a network. I did the maybe the dumbest thing you can do, which is get here and then be a hermit in a practice room for 2.5, maybe 3 years, and occasionally go out and just randomly by happenstance meet someone and get an opportunity to play.
Totally.
Like, and that was just like, by the grace of God, I get to play music on occasion. And every time that would happen, that people would go, wow.
You're good, man.
You're really great. Who are you playing with? I'm like, no one. I'm not playing with anyone. I felt like such an idiot. Yeah. I could have been, I could have done it so much, so much better. That's what you did. Infinitely more intelligent than what I did.
Everybody's on their own path. I think meeting people is hard, though. Like, even in college, like me being a 20-year-old trying to talk to people, let alone try to talk to girls at parties, like, no.
Yeah.
Not good at it.
Yeah, well, that's a skill set all its own.
Yeah, I won't get into that. Yeah.
Hey, drummers. Do you need a place in Nashville to practice on actual drums? Drumbox is Nashville's newest drum practice studio. Book sessions online and get the space to yourself. It's fully equipped with two kits, cymbals, hardware, and even sticks are provided. 30-minute, 1-hour, and 2-hour sessions are available at www.drumbox.space and use the coupon code NDP25 for 25% off your first session. Again, that's www.drumbox.space.
Your degree is in audio engineering. Mm-hmm. So take us back, because this passion for production audio really stemmed from high school for you, right? Or even before then, maybe. But take us through that journey and kind of where that interest started for you.
Sure. I started on, I guess, like trumpet, like playing in the school band in like fourth grade, and moved to like saxophone. I played flute for like a couple weeks. And never played the drums in any of the school bands, though. But I, you know, learned how to read sheet music on trumpet and all that stuff. It wasn't until I was probably in middle school when I got my first guitar. And it was an electric guitar, and it was made by this company, Dean, that makes, like, I guess, metal guitars. And or guitars for playing metal. And it's like in a shape of a K, and it has lightning on it. And
hell yeah.
It's so cool. I still have it. It's in my shed at my house here.
Nice.
But I need to fix it up. Like, then I got like a Telecaster in high school and tried to take the humbucker out of the metal guitar and put it in the telly, and just totally messed everything up.
Did you come from a musical family?
My parents played piano. They like took piano lessons like when they were growing up. Mm-hmm. And we always had a piano in the house, which was always awesome. So just playing, being able to like walk around and just like play the piano in the house if you're bored. Then when I
that's such a better thing. Let me just stop that right there. That's such a better thing than like, I'm bored, so I'm getting on my phone. Or I'm going to like turn on the TV. Like, if you're having the piano on offer, that's just, hey, cheat codes, parents.
TikTok scrolling or piano?
Yeah.
Or music.
Like, hey, you know what?
Not even
have that be the way that you satisfy your dopaminergic craving. Anyway.
That's a good word.
Continue.
Once I turned 12, I got my first drum set. And I was doing a, like, after school, like, music program where, you know, you would take lessons and then they put you in a band. And it was similar to that, to the School of Rock thing, but it wasn't School of Rock.
Yeah.
So that kind of vibe. Yeah. And, you know, I was playing guitar and we were covering, like, Smells Like Teen Spirit. And we used to play some Daughtry songs. That was really fun.
Nice.
I was playing guitar and, you know, I just was getting frustrated with it. And they let me play drums and I was like, oh, this is awesome. I don't have to learn how to play any notes, or like, I just have to hold the stick and I can hit as hard as I want. And I fell in love with it and got the drum set for Christmas, Red Sparkle PDP. I still have it in my parents' basement. And, I want to bring it down here because I don't have a like a 22 by, I think it's like 16 or something.
Is it is it a birch kit?
I think it's maple.
Okay. All right.
But I played on that thing for years, and then played in bands. Had a band in high school that we were, you know, like everybody, very serious about. We thought we were going to win Grammys and stuff, and we'd play like the high school football tailgates and stuff. And then in high school, I got into doing the sound for all the high school like plays and musicals and stuff.
Yeah,
and slowly but surely started getting some stuff to like be able to record at home and trying to record the high school band in the basement. And, you know, I had a digital reference drum set mic kit and some Samson condensers from Guitar Center. So most of my gear was on my Christmas list. And shout out to my parents for supporting that and not wanting to rip my head off for playing drums in the basement.
Yeah.
Seriously. Hey, shout out to all parents who are like, when the kid's like, I really want to do this thing, especially with the drums. God bless you. Directly to my parents. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So much noise in a small house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to have blankets. I found some moving blankets in our like storage room and I put them over the kick and under like the toms just to make a little sound barrier before I knew anything about actually like blocking the sound. And I took them off one time and my dad came down into the basement and my drums were facing away from like the basement door. So he scared the living hell out of me. But I turned around and he's like, Tim, are you like amplifying your drums right now? Cause like they were so loud and you know, I didn't have any like acoustic panels on the wall or anything. So it's just bouncing everywhere. And his like home office was right above where the drums were. So
have you turned this up somehow?
It was, I'm surprised that they let me play drums there for as long as I did, but did that. And then our neighbor, Ainsley Barry, she's one of the nicest people. She works in like the business side of the industry. And she introduced me to Belmont. And then my mom and I flew down here to check it out and ended up falling in love with Nashville.
The rest of history. And,
yeah. So that's kind of how I got into it. I know I kind of get on my tangents.
No, there's definitely some things I want to unpack there. Just from listening to that story, it's cool hearing how you just went from one thing to the next to the next. Like it started maybe on piano.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, you went from piano to guitar and then you wanted to try drums and then start to get your hands in the audio production.
Yeah.
It seems like you were always open-minded. Would you say that was like a
totally
part of your personality maybe, and even still?
Still, yeah. I mean, I kind of wish, I still love that drums are my first instrument. I wish that I had been better about practicing guitar because I think I would enjoy it a little bit more. But now, like, as I am producing more and, you know, working at studios, I find, like, if I'm producing something, I end up playing the acoustic guitars on the song after the fact, or after the tracking session, and I love playing acoustic guitar. Probably because it's, you know, somebody told me that an acoustic guitar is just a shaker with notes. And
whoa.
I have not heard that before.
I love that because, like, it's true. Like, you can follow the rhythms on the drum set on the acoustic guitar. And, like, I really love the acoustic, but
that's going in the nuts. That's such an interesting thing.
Yeah, it's super cool. And it totally, like, flipped my mind about how I think about playing acoustic guitar. I'm still, you know, learning how to really be good at playing it, but trying to do electric guitar too, but that is probably best left to professionals.
Man, we'll talk about just being, you know, hireable, you know, now like that you can do both and have your hands in both of those worlds.
For sure.
You know, so I want to go back to when you first started to get into audio.
Mm-hmm.
You said you were mixing or helping out with the productions in high school pit, or not pit, but theater.
Yeah.
Take us into like that mindset. What about the production side of things sort of turned you on, maybe different from learning an instrument?
Our high school theater director was trying to start a audio club because I went to high school in Wilmington, Delaware, and he ran a studio in Wilmington and then got hired at the high school. And started the club, and I showed up for the first meeting, and then I got the bandmates involved in it. And our senior year, we got it turned into a class.
Nice.
And our first period was just like the four of us and Mr. Locke, who was the theater director, just hanging out in the theater, and like we talk about different audio stuff. But
wow.
I wanted to get into it because I had like a little PA system, and we do rehearsals at our house. And it just stemmed from there, like, oh, I want to try and record the drum set and, you know, just hearing songs. I grew up on like classic rock stuff, and I wanted to make videos of me playing to that to like upload to YouTube. And I think they're still on YouTube. I need to take them down. But
nope, it's got to stay up there.
It's just kind of snowballed memories, from there, yeah. I guess. I just really fell in love with, like, it's just so cool to record yourself playing and like experiment with different sounds. And even back when I didn't know the technical basics of recording a drum set or even like gain staging a microphone, just setting it up where I thought it looked okay and then just playing along to like Freebird or something. And I just like listening back to that makes you a better drummer, I think. Like
100%,
you know,
does.
Like, oh, I keep hitting the rim of the snare when I mean to hit the center. Like, and that really like forced me to listen to what I'm actually playing and, you know, get better at like being in control of it and not just, you know, wailing on it.
We were just talking about this exact thing on our last podcast. That is the part about recording that is so underestimated, I feel like.
Yeah.
For, like, as a player, you should want to be recorded often so that you can have that objective feedback. You know, okay, here's what I thought it sounded like, and here's what it sounded like. Here's what actually was happening. And I, you know, I switch between open and cross-handed playing, like, and there will be little, like, minute differences in the sound and feel. I'm like, okay, so I'm trying to make those things sound identical. And when you, I've seen a few players that can really sound perfect both ways. And I'm like, that's that. Actually, there was a guy downtown, and it was like, it was so seamless and so perfect that it like blew my mind.
Yeah.
But that's, it's very rare anyway, but that's all a product that you can't get that. You cannot get that without recording yourself.
Yeah. Dude, it's a great way to practice too. Just like having I have a little Focusrite 2i2 at home, and sometimes I'll just throw up some overheads and just so I don't have to set up my iLock and do the whole Pro Tools thing, I'll just open GarageBand and pull some of the loops in there. And I saw on Instagram this drummer, Carter McLean, fantastic drummer. He made a post one time. He was talking about playing like slightly behind the click, slight and right on top of it, and then slightly in front of it and pushing it, and just being able to consciously make that decision, like, okay, the song is 75 BPM, but it's super groovy, I'm going to play behind the beat, or it's straightforward, I'm going to play on top of it, or, you know, it's, let's say it's a train beat kind of country song, I'm going to push it a little bit just to give it that energy boost. Like, those little things make a world of difference, especially on a recording. But not that I'm an expert on any of that, but just stuff that floats around in my head as I'm practicing and experimenting and just listening. But
yeah, I mean, the microphone, the camera is not forgiving. I mean, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And you'll only, like you said, you only hear that from watching the game tape.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I always go back to football and you'll see the quarterbacks, both when they score a touchdown, but when they throw a pick, you know, an interception, they'll go and they'll go sit down and they'll immediately open the iPad and they'll start looking at
what happened.
Yep.
How can I dissect this, you know? I can definitely relate. I just want to go back to your journey, like in high school, of like first getting into the world of production, both video and audio. Because that's, and I think, not to make too big a thing of it, but I think a lot of drummers, you know, we have like that tinkering mindset, and especially the drum set. Think about the drum set; it's multiple instruments, it's different dials and tuning and hardware, and it's not just a guitar. You know, there's so many pieces to it. Mm-hmm. So I think for, you know, for us that fell in love with that instrument or gravitated towards the drums, I think audio, you know, and production kind of serves that same, at least for me, it serves the same, you know, passion and experience, you know, just tinkering with EQs and camera angles and settings and, you know, do you feel that same way?
Totally. I think that's kind of why I enjoyed it so much. Like, before even knowing about being able to go to college to study it, and like, I didn't even know people were doing it for like a career, and I just thought it was fun. I'll have to show you guys the picture if I can, my phone's around here somewhere, but I was going through Facebook and I found one of my old posts from like 2012, and it's a picture of my studio setup, and like the caption on it is, "The studio setup is always growing," and it's like, I was using my grandpa's home stereo system for monitors, and I was working in GarageBand, I think, and I had like two laptops, an old like PC that was my dad's, and then I had like a older like MacBook, and I couldn't tell you why I had two computers, but just like tinkering with all that stuff, like you said, is just like, there's a creative aspect to it that is just so much fun. And then getting to mix that with the drums too. And we recorded some songs with the high school band, and our theater director and teacher let us borrow a bunch of his like really nice microphones and brought them home and set them up. And I think we spent like the whole weekend in the basement just like experimenting. Like, I had no clue that putting a microphone on the center of the guitar cab was going to make it sound brighter than moving it to the outside of the speaker cone. Yeah. Like, I had no clue. We were just experimenting and getting to be creative both on the drum set and recording stuff. It just made it such a fun experience because everything was so new. And now, like, I'm still super excited by it, which is like, is really cool. I mean, everybody's always coming out with new plugins or new microphones and stuff, but I think the creativity was really what drew me into the recording side of everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah, like you said, that experimentation, I think, is pretty unique to that world of production. You know, I mean, obviously we experiment. Any artist or musician, there's always going to be growth and a chance to experiment on the instrument, but it feels like it's less complex. Like, okay, if I tune the drum, it now sounds this way, right? But with audio, like, you know, you can make one change, but then there's like three other changes down the spectrum, you know, whether it's hardware, then software, and then mic placement. Like, there's so many more intricacies, I guess.
Well, and knowing that change that you're making, if you're creating, like, if you're creating a song, that change is a permanent way that you're like decorating time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's you. Like you said, like, oh, cool, I can change the tuning on my toms, on my snare, whatever. I can switch out the cymbals. Oh, I can even put them in different spots. Fantastic. And then rhythmic experimentation, that's all fantastic. And that's the thing that I'm obsessed with. But when you're doing that in a recording setting, that's forever. Like that song exists now. Here you go, world.
Yep.
Something that wasn't here before, and it's here to stay.
That's
really cool.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
So do you remember, was there a time going from the transition to high school to then you said you flew down here and eventually ended up at Belmont. Was there a moment where you realized like this was going to be a career and this was going to be something that you wanted to really take professional?
Totally. I think, man, I guess I don't know about a specific moment, but my whole freshman year of college just being constantly surrounded by it. I did not do anything like in the school of music at all. So all the people that I was meeting through like my audio classes or just like the gen eds that we had to take freshman year, everybody was different majors because we all had to take those gen eds. So just being constantly surrounded by people that were not so much trying to do exactly what you're trying to do, but doing something very similar and knowing that y'all can work together to make something really cool. Like, I think that's what really sparked it for me. It was just amazing. Like, just you're walking down the hall of your dorm and you hear people playing guitar or singing. And like, I played drums in my dorm freshman year and sophomore year, but we had practice hours. So it was like 3 to 7 that you could do whatever you want in your dorm and be as loud as you want. So like, we tracked a full band in my dorm freshman year.
Wow.
It was so much fun. Like, yeah, just everybody was like so down to work together and, you know, try new things of, you know, writing songs or starting new bands or whatever. I played bass in a band my freshman year of college, and it was so much fun. Like, I never get to do that, and I don't play bass anymore. I will on, like, demos for myself, but that's about it. But just that atmosphere really, like, motivates you to want to do it. And I couldn't see myself, like, doing anything else, because this is what I have loved since I was 12 years old, even before that. And the possibilities are, like, endless.
Yeah,
it's wild to think about. Like, there's so many people that, you know, you could be driving through Franklin and see a giant house, and that person did jingles in the 90s, and that's how they made their money. Like, and of course, it's not just about money, but, like, it's amazing to see how many different things you can do in the music industry and, like, still feel fulfilled and get to be creative and meet people and do all the cool things. It's amazing.
It's not at all a narrow field. There are,
no, not
there
at
are
all.
So many countless
yeah.
options. And like you said, like, when you see like a giant house, I'm like, okay, this person was successful doing music, successful enough that they now they get to live a life and really take care of themselves and them mm-hmm. and their family and like maybe their next generation. Like, that's
yeah.
that's really wild as a, you know, someone earlier on in the musical journey. And
yeah.
I'm like, I hope that someday that what I do can mm-hmm. turn into that. That's yeah. amazing.
You don't have to be, you know, a giant superstar to make a comfortable living working in music.
Right.
I think a lot of people on the outside of the industry don't realize that. And I don't know, like you said, the possibilities are endless. Like, you can do so many little things that add up. And like, that's one of the things I really love about it is like having my hands in a bunch of different stuff, like mm-hmm. from playing gigs live or, you know, playing in the studio to engineering in studios or, you know, I play acoustic guitar for like writer's rounds sometimes just to help out some like friends that are artists or whatever. So it's cool being able to have every day be different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. The music industry is definitely multifaceted and mm-hmm. now more than ever, you know, there's more ways to make a living.
Yeah.
It's not as cookie cutter as maybe we, you know, were taught or mm-hmm. that it used to be. It's a good transition too, because, you know, you're a man of many talents. We're hearing musically, which I didn't realize you played all those other instruments. To audio production, but then you're also a business owner. I want to talk about
sure.
Tune Towels. Tim
Let's
was gracious enough to give us a few towels here. And for those that don't know about Tune Towels, Tim is the founder and the owner and the production manager and the intern. It's just you. So yeah, tell us what that is and we'll get into that backstory.
Sure. It's definitely, I kind of stumbled into it, honestly, but it's been a totally like new journey in itself. You know, I know you guys know that people use the like terry cloth towels on their drums, and I started doing that as well, and I was using like gaff tape or chip clips, you know, anything I could find, and, you know, like most people using bandanas or whatever, because I really did not like using moon gels because they'd always get dirty. I'd lose them. I yes. would never clean them off.
They're gross.
Yeah.
You throw them in your, you know.
They just don't last.
And they leave gunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You throw your kit in your gig bags and then you get to the gig and your moon gel rolls away and then it's in the bathroom at the East Room and you don't want to touch it.
Don't want to touch it there.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. But
so I started using them, the towels, and I moved into this house that I've been in for the last like 2 years. And I still am like getting rid of random stuff I've had like since college and, you know, slowly but surely like getting rid of all the t-shirts I've had since like high school. Mm-hmm. So trying to dress like an adult. And, but while I was doing that one day, I found these magnets and, they're like a, they come in like a cube and, they're like spherical magnets and they're called buckyballs. And like, you know, I guess you can use them to stick stuff to the fridge or, just to like keep your hands busy.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm going to try using these. And they stuck to the drum. So I started putting the towel on the drum and then putting the magnets on the outside just to keep it there. I was like, this is great. Cause I, at the time I was leaving my drum set at the studio I was working at. And, you know, so they didn't move and I wasn't worried about losing the magnets. And it was my boss who told me, he was like, dude, like, that's a great idea. Like, you should find a way to sew them into the towel. Hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's a great idea. So I definitely owe him for that. So I started making them January of last year. And, you know, I went to Home Depot and I bought like a pack of like shop towels. And I was sitting there in my room with a sewing kit that I bought from like Walgreens. And I was trying to break the seam on the end of the towel to mm-hmm. put these magnets in there. And then I was trying to sew it back up and I kept stabbing myself. And then I eventually got away from the round magnets and switched to these cylindrical magnets and start sewing fabric on each corner just so it's like a little pouch for the magnet. And it's been working great. I've gotten to meet so many cool people and everybody has been so welcoming of the Toon Towels. You know, it's been awesome to meet new people and help people out because I use these all the time. Like I keep three in my snare drum case and that comes with me to every gig. So I'll put them on the toms. Like I played Whiskey Jam a couple weeks ago and that, you know how the kits are downtown, like they get pretty beat on. And I'll reach for these before I reach for a drum key. Because just throwing these on the toms just warms everything up instantly. Mm-hmm. And it's not like a moon gel. You're not going to forget it. And it's going to live there forever. You can take these with you and, you know, throw them in your pocket or whatever.
I was on a session 2 weeks ago and we were trying to dial in the snare sound. Like, mm-hmm. It just needs a little bit of a towel. And we're like jerry rigging it with a little bit.
We
couldn't find gaff tape. So we were using like packing tape. Yeah. And I'm like, this is a nightmare. And I'm like, getting it just right sucked. I'm like, mm-hmm. if I had just had this, mm-hmm. Dude. That would have been problem solved. Yeah. Now I do.
Yeah.
Now I've got more songs to do for that same session. I need to go back and finish it. I'm going to bring that.
Yeah, these. We'll get these on camera. These are freaking awesome. I'll just say I will never not use a Toon towel. I love the color. The logo is awesome. Super fun and playful. It's brilliant. And it goes back to drummers. How we just solve problems, right?
Yeah, totally.
You combine that with, you know, more of an entrepreneur mindset that you have. And dude, so happy to see the journey. I'm seeing them all over. It was one of the recent Nelson drum videos.
Yeah.
I think Bryce was using them.
Yeah, Chris Bryce.
Chris Bryce, yeah.
He's a great drummer.
Yeah, super, like in the studio nice live, these things are awesome.
You've heard of Drum Supply, but you gotta see their shop. It's a drum shop experience like no other. They're packed with all the gear a working drummer needs and so many parts, noise toys, and accessories. It's a toy store. Curated cymbals, kits, and snares. The hands-on percussion room is nuts. And their custom shop work is fast and affordable. Andy and the guys know their stuff, and they're ready to help. And the big news? They've just moved to an awesome new location near the corner of East Trinity Lane and Dickerson Pike. Still in East Nashville, just a couple miles from their old spot, the all-new Drum Supply is twice as big featuring a dedicated cymbal room, a lesson space, and even more drum gear than ever. Go see the new Drum Supply Shop for yourself. Now open 11 to 5 at 2211 Dickerson Pike and online at drumsupply.com.
So we saw you at the Music City Drum Show.
Yeah.
Tell us about that experience for you, because that was our, I think, both of our first times as a vendor, you know, exhibiting.
I was, I don't know about y'all, I was super nervous for that. I did not know what to expect. And it ended up being so much fun. My booth was right next to the Canopus Drums guys, and they were some of the nicest people. They ended up buying some of the towels, and one of the reps was, talking to me about, you know, how to market and like get packaging and get it into more stores and do all of that. And like, we exchanged information, just an awesome, awesome guy. And then on the other side, was this guy from Kentucky that's a custom drum builder, Black Sheep Custom Drums, I'm pretty sure is what the name was, but he was super cool too. And, everybody that I met was really nice. And, a lot of people, I just wanted to play my kit, but it was still super fun. It was a wild experience. It was not, I didn't know what to expect, but it definitely wasn't what I expected.
Yeah, in a good way.
Yeah, totally.
We felt the same. I mean, just so much fun getting to talk to drummers from all different walks of life.
Yeah.
We were doing live interviews from our mini booth, and that was super rewarding. That was awesome.
Yeah.
It felt like a risk to be like, well, what if we spend this money, which is not like a crazy amount, but still, like, we're not in a place where the podcast is like paying us. Mm-hmm. So what if we just spend this money and it's just, we're just sitting around with, you know, sitting on our hands looking like assholes. but it ended up being just such an incredibly rewarding experience. I can't wait to do it again next year.
Dude, yeah. It was a lot of fun. Like you were saying, it's interesting to meet drummers that, you know, some have day jobs and they like to play when they're not working, or some people are playing full time or part time, whatever. Like, it's so cool to meet all these different people. And it's so easy for me to talk about these because I don't feel like I'm trying to sell people on them, because I believe in it enough and I get the use out of it for, you know, what they're designed for. Like, I just want to help people out. Like, I love sharing these with people.
Right.
Because I think it's such a good idea. And, you know, not to toot my own horn, but like, I did it just to solve a problem. I didn't think it was going to turn into a full-blown business.
Right.
And
yeah.
I have no clue about running a business. Like, I just want to share them with people.
Dude,
So it's been super cool and very rewarding to see the idea like really come to fruition and seeing other people like really enjoy them and actually use them. It's super cool.
So gratifying, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think, like you said, that I think that is why any small business has success, because it starts from that really honest, genuine place, especially if the, you know, in your case, like the single owner of the business is himself or herself the user of said product, right?
Definitely.
So like you said, you were just solving a problem. You were showing your buddies, probably a lot of word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's really awesome to follow your journey and see now there's a lot more content.
Thanks,
every time I see a tuned towel on the video, I'm like, that's my boy Tim. Let's go. And it makes me so happy.
Dude, Nelson's Drum Shop has been super, super great to me. I brought some in just to show Lemmy and Bryson. And you know, I was more so looking for like feedback, because this was before I had the logo. I was still figuring out how to like actually sew them onto the towel. And they're like, man, these are great. Like, can we buy like 30 of them? I was like, yeah.
You're like, I've only made 5, but let me figure that out.
Yeah, I ran home and that I think I was still making them with like just holding the needle in my hand. Wow. And
I was literally going to make a joke earlier about you hand sewing them. He hand sewed them? I'm like, no, this dude did.
I did for a while.
Let me just say that the joke that I didn't make, that maybe you thought I was going to make, but I didn't, was actually not
still
a joke at all.
It, listener.
Hey, I know you were thinking it.
So that happened and it was like, it was mind blowing. I was like, An actual drum shop like wants to sell these. And I definitely had like a panic moment of like, oh my gosh, like I actually need to like figure out how to do this. You know, running the business, let alone actually making them. So I went to Walmart and I bought a sewing machine and I spent like a whole Saturday just watching YouTube videos of old ladies, you know, teaching you how to sew and like, you know, thread the machine and all the different stitches that you can do and how to like lock the stitch so that it doesn't come out. And I was like, man, at 25 years old, I'm learning how to sew. Like, this is not what I expected. But
wow,
it's honestly really relaxing. Like, some people get into knitting or, you know, reading or whatever. I've been watching Suits. I'm way behind on it, but I'll put that on the TV and I just sit there and sew. And then I'll make as many as I can. And then I do all the screen printing myself as well. So I, you know, I'll sew them all. And then once I have like a good batch, then I'll screen print them all. And I just set them on my bed to let them dry, you know, and I go do whatever. And it's been wild.
Yeah. Nate and I are both looking at each other. I was watching you as he was telling us this, like just the gumption, the balls to do all this yourself, learn it. You're watching videos. I mean, inspirational.
Yeah, right? Dude.
Is that what you're thinking?
Thanks. means a lot. Yeah.
Let me just stop and say officially that sewing is badass. And I've never realized until this moment that sewing is badass. Yes, let's go.
Dude.
I love
realizing. I took like one home, like home ec class in high school. I think that's the only time I've ever sewed.
I didn't even take a home ec class.
Yeah, clearly not.
I went to YouTube Academy for this, but
man,
would you? Okay, here's a question for you. Would you now? I mean, I don't know how this might be dumb, but would you consider sewing now a hobby? Are you simply sewing for the business purpose, or is there a part of you that's like, I would kind of maybe do this to relax?
Maybe. Okay. It depends on what I'm sewing. I don't think I can make any like clothing alterations, but so if you need your pants hemmed, don't hit me up because your pants will look
bad. I was going to ask.
They'll look bad.
I have a few tears in some pairs of jeans that I love. I need some.
I tried. I tried sewing jeans that I love and just from like playing gigs in them and stuff and the crotch like ripped and I tried to sew them and I thought I broke my sewing machine because they were like all wrapped up in the sewing machine. I was like, oh no. I mean, now that I know how to do it, I think it's a cool hobby. Like it's cool that it's not, I mean, the end goal with the sewing is still like music related, but I think it's so important to have hobbies that are not music related. And doing the sewing is almost like therapeutic in some weird way.
Yeah. Dude, we got to set up a master class with Tim, just how to sew.
I'm qualified to teach how to make a towel. Just yet.
That could be really cool.
Totally. But, and it's been really cool. I've had a lot of friends help me out with like sewing them and, my girlfriend's mom has helped me sew, and she gave me some pointers and stuff. And everybody that I talk to is like really stoked on it. And it's very motivating to have people like interested in something that you're making with your hands. Like it's cool.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's that side to it. But on the other side, like it's so cool to help people out and solve a problem that so many drummers have been dealing with forever, you know?
Yeah, it really is so simple, but what you've created is really genius and it just works.
Thanks.
Well, and it occurs to me, so you said you basically spent one Saturday just YouTubing this stuff, and then from there, it was go time. Well, that means that the barrier to entry for you to create this product, which is now doing well, was actually fairly low. Which means that probably for a lot of problems that exist, the barrier to entry is probably lower than we're imagining.
For sure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's like for me, with bringing it back to using Logic, there was a huge, I bought the program And then I was just like terrified to just jump in and just start messing around.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, what if I just can't do anything? And I'm like, no, first of all, just like bite the bullet and just spend a day trying to figure that out. But it's not just that, it's whatever you want to do. If it's sewing or if it's using a new app you haven't used or whatever it is, maybe just spend a day YouTubing it. One day, sacrifice a day of your life and try to figure that out.
YouTube is such a great thing. Like, my girlfriend always gives me, I guess it's a backhanded compliment that I, she's like, oh, I hate you. You can learn anything off of YouTube. And it is usually like simple stuff. I'm not learning how to do open heart surgery on YouTube, but
not yet.
Not yet. Yeah. I haven't gotten into that. Like, I've been watching YouTube videos on learning Logic, and like, I've been working in Pro Tools for the last 2 years that I've been a professional audio engineer. And now that I'm trying to learn Logic, like, it's similar, but, you know, totally different ball game. And like, just being able to go to YouTube and like ask YouTube the question and it pulls up a video. Yeah. And like, now it even gives you like a timestamp of when whoever's video it is talking about the thing you're searching for.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But yeah, I mean, the towel business has opened a lot of doors for me in a really cool way that I never expected. I met drummer Kyle May.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that video. I think he had one on every tom and snare, right?
I hit him up on Instagram and I was like, hey, you know, I want to give you some of these towels just to check out. And just trying to like reach out to people and get them in more people's hands. Like, I met with Kip as well. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, man, these are awesome. And he was such a nice guy. And just been doing things like that just to get them in hands of other people and have them experience it. And Kyle was kind enough to make a whole video of him playing with the towels. And he has a lot of Instagram followers that were all reaching out to me about buying towels. And like, it's been so cool. He was so helpful to do that. And like, just picking his brain, like, he went to Belmont and, you know, is now doing the things that I want to be doing. And it's inspiring to have those people, you know, even though they're like new friends, but still have them in my life where they're wanting to pass on the wisdom and help out the other people that are maybe just getting started. And so then it makes you want to do that, you know?
Yeah. That's influencer marketing 101 right there. Yeah. You know, identify an influencer, someone in your audience's market, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, Kyle's great. We got to have him on. And
we do.
Yeah,
the content he's pushing, his knowledge from both being a great drummer, vinyl artist, right? Mm-hmm. His studio, the tones he's getting is just unreal. Yeah. They're just perfect.
It is unreal, dude. He like walked me through his whole setup, and I was there for like an hour and a half. We were just like talking about stuff, and it was super cool.
Good on you. You reached out to him, and then you just wanted honest feedback. You wanted someone like him to at least have them in his hands.
Yeah, totally.
You know, without that mindset, you know, it's sometimes easier for people to think, oh, well, I've built or I've created a good thing. Mm-hmm. Why isn't it growing? Why aren't people coming to me? Right, but you totally. Always have to be your biggest supporter. Like, no one's going to love it as much as you ever will.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, nobody is, like I said, it's so easy to reach out to people and say, hey, like, can I drop a couple of these off and maybe like bring you a coffee and pick your brain? Because like, I'm still figuring it out, you know, everybody is. And the towels have been a great way to like meet people and make some new friends. And, you know, all those people like Kyle and Kip, they've been super cool and helpful in giving like feedback on the towels and, you know, just promoting them on their own pages. And I didn't really expect any of that. I want to share them with people that I know are going to use them and enjoy them. And
that's so the best, right? When it happens naturally.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because like you said, it started because you created a genuinely good product and it really does speak for itself. So if someone wants to get a hold of these towels, give us the quick plug for, you know, Instagram, website, how to order one of these.
Sure. I'm still working on a website, but I take all the orders through Instagram. It's just @tune_towels. And that's been really cool too, because people will reach out and, is there a website I can order these from? And it's me replying on Instagram like, no, there's no website. Just shoot me a Venmo and your address and I'll put them in the mail tomorrow. And again, not what I expected at all, but it's been super cool. Like just getting to talk to people from Sweden or like Canada or Texas, like these towns are going all over and it's crazy.
So cool to hear.
And just for your sake, I'm going to say to all the listeners who are trying to find that currently, Toone, T-O-O-N-E.
Mm-hmm.
That's important in the searching
and
the finding.
I wanted to, it was my younger brother who helped me come up with the name. I have one name that I wanted to use, and I think it was something dumb like Timmy Towels or something. And
just look at the alliteration though. So
and works. Yeah, and I was talking to my brother on the phone, and he's a junior in college, and I was like, "Dude, I can't think of a name for the towels. Like, I have this idea, like you know," and he was asking, like, "Well, what do you do with the towels?" And I was like, "Well, you put them on the drum to like kind of help tune the drum, and like, I mean, he has been around like music because it's been in the house like rehearsing, and he's come to a million shows when I was in high school, but he's not like a musician." So he was like, "Oh, you're like tuning the drum with the towel?" And I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "You could call them like Toone Towels, like T-U-N-E." And I was like, "Okay." And that got the wheels spinning, and I didn't want to take it too seriously.
Yeah.
Because it's a towel.
Yeah.
You know, like it makes me think of the South Park towel.
Yeah, totally.
I have don't been forget thinking a towel. That the entire time.
If I can get them to collab, that'd be so cool. Have a towel-y Toone towel.
Yes.
But I went with the spelling T-O-O-N-E because I think it just like made it a little bit goofier, especially with the logo, the snare drum
I
being with
that.
The hands.
Yeah, I was going to say, the logo just gets me every time. Is that supposed to be like you're kind of spreading the towel out?
Or yeah.
Just like, whatever, you know.
It's been here super it cool. Yeah. So all of this stuff is like, I feel like this is a story similar to a lot of people that are doing things they didn't expect to be doing. Like, I've just kind of stumbled into it because I wanted to solve the problem for myself. And now it's turned into like, not quite like a full-time thing, but I think it could get there. And again, like it's so, I enjoy it because I believe in it and it's so much fun. It's a great excuse to like meet new drummers and people that, you know, work in the music industry or not, or, you know, they want to buy a Toone towel for their husband who works a day job and plays drums in the basement on the weekend or, you know, stuff like that. Like they're for everybody.
Yeah.
If you really want to have one in your kitchen, you can just stick it to the fridge and, you know, wipe up stuff with it if
that.
You want.
Multi-use right there.
Dude,
my whole house is covered in Toone towels.
I was actually going to, could you theoretically sew me a pair of pants made entirely of Toone towels?
Probably.
And would that be good marketing for you?
You probably couldn't walk past anything metal, though. Because you just get stuck to it.
Oh, that needs to happen.
That's
I'm thinking like Impractical Jokers.
That imagery is incredible for me. So,
like the Velcro wall that you put on the Velcro suit and you jump at it. It would be like that.
We're doing it. It's ladies and gentlemen, it may not happen today or tomorrow or even in the next year, but I swear to you,
Toone towel pants,
that I'm going to commission a pair of Toone towel pants. It's going to be a thing.
Why did I know you were going to ask that eventually today?
Dude, you really? Well, unpredictable.
Yeah, kind
of. Hey, drummers, are you looking for something to aid muscular recovery, nervous system regulation? Something to help you age gracefully, or just looking to feel like the best version of yourself? If so, you gotta try a sauna and a cold plunge. Putting both together is the winning combo. You sweat out all the things that no longer serve you, like all the toxins you may have from food and drinks on tour, and then you get into a sobering cold that actually gets you high. Yep, the cold is a natural high.
It also gives you focus and clarity. If you want this experience, head on over to Detox House Nashville. They offer both an infrared sauna and a cold plunge hydrothermal experience in a relaxed, private, and comfortable environment. Visit detoxhousenashville.com to book your first session. The password to book is release. And exclusively for listeners of the podcast, select the Drummer Special for $50 off 3 sauna and cold plunge sessions. Follow their Instagram at The Detox House and visit detoxhousenashville.com to learn more and book your private session.
Let's quickly transition into just some more drummy topics, you know, as we
sure.
wrap up.
I want to
learn more about the gigs that you're on and, you know, you as a drummer, maybe some drumming influences as well.
Totally. Right now I'm just kind of floating around. I have been working in studios more than I've been playing out. And I play for a couple different bands. I've been playing drums for a country duo called Mac Martin. And we've been friends since like freshman year of college, and they're amazing. And I've been fortunate enough to produce some stuff for them as well. So we played, you know, Whiskey Jam before they moved downtown, and like we've done Bus Call, stuff like that. And they're fantastic songwriters as well. So just kind of like one-off stuff like that is really what I've been doing on the drums lately. I'm trying to maybe play a little bit more out because I love getting to play drums, but I also love the engineering, and finding that balance is something I'm still figuring out. I'd say I'd like identify as like a producer and engineer, and then in my mind, like the producer side of things, like the drums are wrapped up into that, because when I'm producing something, I'll play drums on the session, and then I end up, you know, doing all the vocal production with the artist and mixing it, and even playing guitars, acoustic guitars at least, after the tracking session. And that's been working for me. I really enjoy that, like, workflow. Yeah, I mean, aside from Mac Martin, I tend to live, like, kind of in the country world, playing drums for different various artists. I have been playing drums for an artist, Ashton Angel, who I worked with at the studio, and he's a fantastic artist and super great guy. And he's, you know, starting to ramp up live shows, so gonna keep playing with him. We did Whiskey Jam a couple weeks ago, like right before Thanksgiving, and he's a super, super great songwriter as well. So it's really cool to have this balance. And
yeah, it's interesting hearing that balance for you. How it seems like you're, as you said, you identify first as that producer, you know, audio business person, but then the drums are always there, and like the drums can, you can always go to them when you need to. Whether it's like, oh, I'm gonna pick up a Whiskey Jam gig for next weekend, or I'm gonna play. You actually play the drums on these sessions. That's probably really useful for the artist, right?
Totally. It's been cool. I was talking to a friend of mine. And as of recently, I'm going the freelance route with engineering, and that's been a journey on its own, just like figuring that out. But, you know, I've always been a freelance drummer. So just figuring that out. But a friend of mine was telling me, like, okay, now that you're going freelance, now is the time, and you're still kind of getting started in your career. Like, I've been out of college for 2 years, just turned 25 somehow. And he was saying, like, now is the time to identify as what you want to be. Like, even if you're not fully, you know, full-time doing that thing, like not being a jack of all trades, but a master of none. And like, I love playing acoustic guitar. And if somebody hits me up to accompany them for a writer's round, I can do it, and I'll probably say yes to it because it's fun. But producing and engineering is like where I feel most fulfilled. And, you know, the drums tie into the producing thing because I love playing the drums, and I get to play the drums on the stuff that I get to produce. So it's cool to have those be like my two main things. But, and you know, not that I'm not going to play a gig live, because I love doing that as well, but trying to like, as everybody is trying to like find your path, I guess. And not to say you have to stick in one lane and be in that for the rest of your life, but just navigating how to not have everything, but do the things that you really want to be doing and still be able to eat and pay your rent and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's good to just pick a path. Like you said, it doesn't have to be for life. But if you just go, you know what, for the next 3 years, this is going to be my focus.
Totally.
That can be way more of a positive experience, and like you see way more growth out of specializing for short periods.
Yeah.
Like that's a long time ago. I read a book called The Dip by Seth Godin, who's a genius. Mm. And he talked about how he said a doctor who sacrifices a year of her life to become a specialist in one area will earn something like twice what a general practitioner will. Mm. And that's,
yeah.
Like that's, and it's not, that doesn't just go for money. That's just a very obvious example.
Yeah.
You will see more growth by picking a lane.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go further. Just choose a path for a year. Just 1 year.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's not music related, like,
right.
You know, there's so many people, like, I worked in restaurants in college and even out of college, like, I was working part-time at a studio and then I was working part-time at a coffee shop, and like both were fulfilling in different senses. Like just having that sense of routine was really nice, and knowing that the end goal is not, for me, is not working in a coffee shop, you know, and even if it is your end goal, like everybody has their different aspirations and things they want to work towards, and it's cool to not completely be set in something and be able to try a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it's really well said. It's a good point. You know, it makes me think of like someone's Instagram bio, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, using you as the example, would you put, and I don't know what your bio currently says, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't say this. Like if you had written, you know, drummer, producer, engineer, guitar player, piano player, is someone going to go, oh yeah, this is my guy? Probably not. Versus,
yeah, it's, you know, like almost
producer and drummer.
Too much,
like, okay,
to take
that's,
in.
That's yeah. I can now, not that you have to, I don't think it's healthy either to put people in boxes, but
totally.
If you're in control of defining that box, especially for a hired gig, you know, that's going to be really helpful.
Totally. And I mean, nobody knows yourself like you know yourself, and, you know, how you want to market yourself is how you want to market yourself. Like, I don't know, I love working on music in any capacity, and the fact that I get to do that is sick. So,
love it. Well said.
Start with the traditional.
Okay, let's do it.
Favorite places to grab a bite in Nashville.
Dude, if I'm going to ball out, there's this new Italian restaurant in Germantown called Pilato's. And it's like a tapas style Italian restaurant. So, you know, they have a bunch of small plates and you just order a bunch. My girlfriend and I went for our 1 year anniversary, and I actually went to college with the owner's daughter. So we'd see each other every so often, and she's from New York. And I was like, oh man, like I want to go try your parents' restaurant because I've been looking for some like really good Italian food. And we went, and man, it was so, so good. The vodka sauce is like homemade, and it's all sourced from like either Italy or farmers in America that source all their stuff from Italy.
Wow.
So like my stomach was full of olive oil. It was so good.
God bless it.
Dude,
I love
check
that
out. Sounds great. All right. I know you're a gear guy. So give us the next piece of, this is a two-parter, I guess. Next piece of audio gear you're looking at, and then also same thing for drum gear. Any new new items on the list?
Dude, audio gear, Right now at home, I'm just rocking an Apollo. So I would love to Yeah. I would love to get an 8XP just to have the UA channels to record like a full drum set at home.
Yeah.
I have like a Focusrite with the 8
the pre's 18920. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have here.
For drums, I think I want to get another modern kit because I have 2 vintage kits and then I have a new-ish Yamaha kit. But my Yamaha kit is a like 10, 12, 14, 20, and it's sick. It's oak, so it's super, super loud and punchy. Mm-hmm. But it's not the same as playing on a 13, 16, 22.
Yeah.
So I want to get probably a Ludwig, maybe like a classic maple or something, but got to start saving.
All right, nice. Yeah, new year. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the question I usually like to ask here is something I stole from Tim Ferriss, and it's favorite purchase under $100. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say it would be shop towels and magnets.
Yeah.
So instead, I'll just go straight to asking, where do you want these nice people to find you?
For the Tune Towels, y'all can follow the Instagram is at @tune_towels, TOONE. And then my Instagram is Timmy Miller Engineer. Shoot me a follow. And if you live in Nashville and you want to buy a towel, hit me up because I love hand delivering them to people and getting to
wiping the sweat from their brow with
Yeah. Hey, if you don't want to use a towel on your drum, you stick it to your cymbal stand and use it for that. I have.
So much use. So are the towels, are they being distributed at stores now or is it only directly through you at this point?
They are. Nelson's drum shop over in East Nashville sells them. And I'm hoping to get into some of more of the local shops, have some in Drum Supply as well, because Andy is such an awesome guy. And he's been super nice to me. I showed him the towel. And
Andy's the man.
Yeah, dude, he's so cool. Their new store that's opening is like on the street that I live on. So
oh my gosh,
I can
yeah.
walk there.
And it'll be open by the time this airs. So
yeah, which
okay,
is
everybody go check it out.
It's dangerous.
Sure.
I'm going to be carrying drums back to my house.
That is dangerous to live on. This. Oh my gosh.
What he's going to do with all of that extra space after what he was able to do with the small space.
Yeah.
Like I'm so excited to see what happens there.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, I'm just kind of riding the wave of the towels, I guess.
Go where the towels take you.
Yeah. I mean, like with everything else, like it's just been nothing of what I expected, like meeting all these people and like working in studios and stuff, like playing drums, like getting to, like I flew to LA to play a show back in May. And then in October, I flew to Texas to play a show and like never in my wildest dreams, like, I don't know, people get flown to play a gig. And like, if I could go back and like tell high school Tim, like, this is what you're going to be doing, like, sick.
Yeah.
So just trying to ride the wave of that and like enjoy it. Cause like, I don't know, I don't want to be always looking forward to the next thing and then miss the times now and like just be in the moment and enjoy it. Like, yeah, it's maybe not the most like, financially stable I am right now, but like I love what I get to do, and I have great friends, and like I'm getting to meet, like, I know you and I have known each other for a while now, but like getting to meet you and just hang out and talk about drums and like just being a musician is like so much fun, and just enjoying that stuff, I guess, you know.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so well said. Well, Tim, it was so good to have you on.
Thank you
so much for sharing your journey. I think to others, especially that, you know, your story is super inspirational.
Thanks.
And definitely everyone check out Tune Towels, and be good to talk to you going forward and seeing where everything takes you. It's super exciting.
Sweet. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Nashville Drummers Podcast.
If you've enjoyed these podcasts, please consider supporting us on Patreon. For $5 a month, you can help support this dream and keep the ball rolling for us. Believe it or not, it's not free or even necessarily cheap for us to make this thing go. To sign up, go to patreon.com/Nashville Drummers Podcast or click the link in our Instagram bio. All of your help is greatly appreciated.
check out our new website, NashvilleDrummersPodcast.com. And if you're not already following us on Instagram, you can follow us at Nashville Drummers Podcast.
This episode was recorded at Diamond Sound Studios, located in Nashville, Tennessee.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Born in the same month, same color to our eyes. Hers were clear and gentle, or both of mine are fried. Mama's been crying, and Daddy shakes his head.